start?
This is Pankaj here. Thanks, Murray, for submitting the abstract. It was very timely kind of things. And take a look at it, what kind of things whenever you when you attend the meeting, what kind of things they are working on. Yeah.
Okay.
And George, I sent you a template. Can you send me the budgets in that format?
Yes, they're working on the finance department to get together in the right format. Yes.
As soon as you can give it to me, I'll forward to the NSF.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Barry, there was, I think, submitted an email from Cheryl that was sent to you for updating the contract. If you can sign it back and send it to us.
Okay. I thought I had done that, but I will double check.
Thanks. Yeah, we can move on.
Okay, good. Good. So what we wanted to talk about today was mostly just ontology, some ontology changes that we've been working on here. This is in regard to the biochemical trait branch of the TO. So I opened some trackers yesterday and discussed this a little bit with Pankaj, so we can kind of go through these. What we're trying to do is make the biochemical branch a little more well-defined and lay it out kind of more clearly with references to the other ontologies that we're working with in the plantiome. Oh, and I see Justin just joined us. Before we get started, Justin, could you do me one real quick favor? I had a little issue with my TO commit last night. Could you reload the TO file on dev?
Sure, it'll take a few minutes to load.
Yeah, that's fine. I just did a reversion of that commit, so the file that's on dev, like the OBO file, should be fine now.
Okay.
We have a little problem with Protégé sometimes. The version of Protégé that we're using sometimes will write a empty file, and I wanted to show these changes today, and I did the commit last night and didn't realize that it was actually the empty file, so I just fixed that this morning, and Justin can reload that on dev. Anyway, so it doesn't really matter. We can look at the things that we were discussing and have the open trackers for. So if everyone can see the screen, right now we have this is the way the biochemical trait branch looks right now. So this is just a little screenshot of the hierarchy. The main class in the little branch is biochemical trait, and then there was four main categories under it. The Stover organic matter digestibility is an actual individual class. It doesn't have any children really, so just kind of ignore that. But the four that we're kind of looking at are the biological process related traits, enzymatic activity and protein content related traits, metabolite content related traits, and mineral and ion content related traits. So Austin and I have been kind of working on revising these and reorganizing this branch. So I opened some trackers yesterday for this. So basically what we're talking about doing is redefining the main upper level term, which is this discussion right here. Reorganizing the traits under the biological process trait. And what I'm actually proposing is moving the biological process traits out of this branch. So if we did that, then we could redefine the whole branch as you can see here, a plant trait, which is a quality of a molecular function which encompasses all the enzyme activity traits, plant metabolite, or a chemical entity. So the plant metabolite encompasses the metabolite content related traits, and then using chemical entity term from Kebby to encompass the mineral and ion content related traits. And I'll go into a little bit more detail on each of these in a second. So this is our proposal for reorganizing the very upper level definition. So this is in this way we can kind of define the scope of the branch. So any questions or comments before I move on? I think it'll make more sense kind of as I explain the other ones.
Can I, very minor thing, Laura, when you define the proposed revised definition, you use TO for plant trade. For quality, can you use the upper level of this from PAYTO so you can classify with qualities as well? Do you see what I mean?
And could you repeat that? I think I understood what you said.
So, which is a quality, and then if you can stick in the PAYTO ID for the quality there, as we go further down.
Right, we could do that for sure. Yes, yep. You're right, George. Because so these will all be built with equivalence axioms to PAYTO.
That's right. But we can almost do that automatically if you're building these definitions like that. Some of them we can parse and do that automatically, the axioms. I mean.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So one question I had was, I wanted to clarify if this is a quality of the, you know, of these entities. This is almost like there's two entities here. I wasn't quite sure whether this is a quality of the molecular function, like the enzyme activity, I think it is, the plant metabolite or the chemical entity, or if it's a quality of the plant entity, like the cellular component, plant anatomical entity, or the developmental stage. It's kind of a quality of both of those things. And I don't know if
so. I think it's a quality of a plant metabolite. So metabolite could be a protein which has a molecular function, or RNA which has a molecular function.
Right. That's kind of the way I worded it.
But the question over here is, plant metabolite is also a chemical entity.
Could we have an example?
A chemical entity. It's a role in KEBI. It's in a different branch of KEBI than.
I would just say what shows up if you type protein in KEBI, does it show up as chemical entity and has a role metabolite?
We can look here. Let me just. From my understanding of KEBI, these have dual parentage, yes. But we can just double check this. Let me just go to KEBI here. So, see, the metabolites fall under the role class. So they're in here. Oops, that's not... Yeah, that's
a protein should show up somewhere.
Yeah, well, so what we're talking about is metabolites, right?
Yeah, the protein is a chemical entity but has a role metabolite.
Right.
Where is protein here?
Well, I don't know if we can actually just look at protein. I mean, there'll be a million proteins.
No, the very first one.
Here we are. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's a macromolecule. It's just showing up as a
right. This is just protein. But if we look at plant metabolite, let's look at plant metabolite specifically. Take a second here. Come on. See, plant metabolite just has the biochemical role.
If you click on monolignol, yeah, that's the problem because, on your right hand side, it says it has role. But it should show up somewhere under chemical entities too. I think it's incomplete data.
Yeah, if we go with this plant metabolite term, we'll probably want to ask them to add more entities under here because
all plant metabolites are chemical entities.
Yes, they would be, of course. There's a big list of them.
So I think what Kevi is trying to do here is to see the ISA relations as being those which are specified in the chemical formulae, and to use Rolle where we're dealing with groups of chemicals which are specified in other ways, for instance, by the fact that they are metabolites and that they appear in plants. So what we would need to do is to take not plant metabolite and say, plant metabolite is our chemical entity. What we would need to do is to ask them to do cross-references between terms like monolignol and some chemical formula defined term. And then we know that that is an identity relation. So monolignol is a chemical with this formula. But Kevi may want just to say that monolignol is a Rolle of the chemical that has that formula.
Right. But I think that Pankaj's point, too, is that monolignol should be in there as a chemical entity where...
Oh, I agree.
Right.
But
right.
The plant metabolite should not be in there as a chemical entity. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. Right.
I think metabolite is a Rolle. So right. That is fine. So as long as we have monolignol... is a chemical entity but has a different relationship, has a Rolle of metabolite, that is fine. But putting it under is a metabolite, I don't think it's the right idea. But some of their, so what I can understand is that if there are things that are more higher level categories, which represent the generic form of that chemical by representing, let's say, R-OH, anything organic alcohol, that is a Rolle. I do understand that part. So if they're doing it that way, then that is one way of looking at it. But for now, I think we cannot wait until those guys can start fixing, but we can have a communication. So if we can fix our definitions, having both, that would be fine.
So can you click on term metadata? Because it's actually quite weird that it's only specified as a Rolle. I mean, they might say that it has that Rolle, but I mean,
so this is an essential oil. You want the plant metabolite?
Yeah, monolingual. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or the monolingual. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they have things like I don't know, any that type of alcohol, coniferal alcohol or something underneath that. They should have something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the monolingual.
No, search for the term called coniferyl alcohol.
Yeah, to see if they, because I mean, it's a grouping term. Maybe that's why they use it as a Rolle.
Yeah.
This guy?
Yep. Okay.
Now, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's correct. That's fine.
It shows up in numerous places.
Yeah.
But I was expecting that it should show up as has a Rolle under monolignols.
So I think it's just that we don't, it's the viewer. I think there is a relationship between the parent Rolle and
there should be, yeah.
On the left, on the right hand side, it says has some
Rolle,
some
monolignol.
Yeah. Okay.
So which is fine.
Yeah, we can live with that. That's fine, actually. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Good. Yeah, I think maybe it's the way it's displayed. And we're having, you know, similar problems in a way that with the display of the relationships on our browser. But you can see, yeah, the coniferol is in numerous branches here. Somewhere here it has a Rolle. Okay, so getting back to the definitions... Now that we've satisfied that question, let me see where I am here. Oops, I'm going to just go over here. This is our Google Doc we have working on.
So I think that we're going to make progress with this definition only if we make up our mind what we mean and drop all these disjuncts. So if we're going to have a class of entity in the ontology, it can't be either an A or a B or a C or a D, it has to be an A.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And
so can we have an example?
You should just say a plant trait, which is a quality of a plant metabolite, period.
But if
the branch includes metabolites and chemical entities.
But we just agreed that every plant metabolite is a chemical entity.
Yes.
So we don't need, we're doing plant ontology now. Can link to Kebby, but we are not doing Kebby's work.
Right, right. So well, the reason I had that is because we have this branch called metabolite traits, metabolite-related traits.
Okay,
so in order to define that,
then we need to ask the question, why do we need to have both metabolite trait and biochemical trait?
Well, it's not both. Metabolite traits are biochemical traits.
Okay, then what is it about biochemical traits which are not metabolite traits, which makes them interesting for the plant ontology?
Could you repeat that? Sorry.
So why do we need both? Why can't we just define biochemical trait to be a synonym of plant metabolite trait? What's the difference?
Well, I don't think, I'm sorry, Barry, I'm not following you. I don't think they're synonyms. This is, and maybe we want to change the name of this category, but I'm trying to define the whole branch.
Yeah, so what would be wrong with just renaming it plant metabolite trait?
Well, not everything under that is plant metabolites.
Okay, so what is not?
Well, all the ones that we're calling chemical entities, which we've just had this side discussion about.
Then we don't need to refer to plant metabolite here. Since we agree that plant metabolites are chemical entities, we just say a biochemical trait is a plant trait, which is a quality of a chemical entity. Punct.
Except it also includes these enzymatic activity traits, which is why we have the molecular function.
Which is okay, because molecular function is a function or is a trait of the biochemical nature.
If the molecule. So I think that...
Right, but it's not a chemical...
Tell me about the enzyme ones again.
Okay, so why don't we go through the four different categories, and then we'll come back to the main definition? Because I think it'll make more sense to people. So right now, what we have in this are biological process-related traits, enzymatic activity, which include protein content, which we're moving, and then mineral and iron content-related traits. So what we proposed doing was actually cleaning up these. So first of all, the biological process-related traits, what I proposed doing is moving this biological process-related trait out of the biochemical traits and having that as kind of a separate, you know, a separate branch. So that makes that simpler.
Good. Well, I agree that we do that.
Okay. And in that class, in the biological process-related traits, we had a subterm called physiological process traits. And this, in Go, there's no term physiological process. It's been merged into biological process. So what we proposed was merging this physiological process related trait term into the biological process and moving those subclasses and then creating this as a separate branch. So that would be out of the biochemical trait.
Good.
That sounds like that's agreed on.
Yeah.
And then the next grouping is called enzyme activity and protein content related trait. So what I proposed, I can open the tracker here. What I proposed was moving the protein content term out into the metabolites.
Yeah.
So moving protein content to metabolites. And then what we have left here, let me see if I can show this to you. Is this up on Viv?
Why is enzymatic activity not a biological process?
It is a biological process.
Then it should go on the biological process related.
Yes, right? Yes. And the same applies for... Yeah, look, let's go. All this could be merged, so I think Barry is right.
I think, no, wait. go
enzymatic or not. Activity is a molecular function, not a biological process.
Exactly.
Yes, but
so it will. It is a biochemical trait.
It says effective enzymatic activity, which means it's not the function; it's the functioning; it's the process. Effective enzymatic activity is the actual process which is performed when the function is realized. So it's a process. And the word activity in normal English means process anyway.
Well, yeah, in that definition it is a process, but when you look at the GO, these are under the molecular function brand.
Formulated.
What's that?
The GO is confusing in this respect.
Possibly, yes.
No.
But, you know, if we have to define these and use relevant GO terms, those GO terms are in the molecular function branch of the GO. That's why I define this as a molecular function or enzyme activity as part of the GO. So this is the old definition. So what we're actually proposing, I'm sorry, I kind of messed up a little bit. I want to have this sort of put together to show you, and I had a little protege problem last night. But what I can show you how this looks right now. So this is how the biochemical branch looks. Here's enzymatic activity and protein content. And what's under it are just protein content and enzymatic activity. So we're proposing to move the protein content ones to the metabolite branch and then use the enzyme activity term as the parent term in this branch. And this is relating to the GO molecular function enzyme activity term.
Okay, now where does this phrase affected enzymatic activity come from?
I'm not sure what you're...
Close the browser.
This thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's the old definition.
Now, is that somehow scientifically justified, or is that the...
No, I think that's a bad definition. Yeah. No, I don't think we want to keep that definition.
Okay, what does an assay to determine enzymatic activity look like?
Well, I wouldn't use that. I wouldn't use that wording, Barry.
Okay, well, so what wording
would you use? I'll give you an example, Barry. If I'm looking for alcohol dehydrogenase enzymatic activity in plant A of a species A versus a plant B of species A, if I do see the variation in their in the KMs or anything that is your enzyme activity, at that point I would say that there is an abnormal activity in plant B, and A is your reference at that point. So I should be able to record.
Okay, now that is because of the enzyme which is in the plant, right? So you're assaying what the enzyme does.
Yes.
Now, I think that we can treat that either as an enzyme trait or as an enzyme process trait.
It's not a process. That's what I'm saying. Scientists would not consider it as a process.
Not.
Well, Barry refers to process activity. It's the same thing, but Barry's right. You either describe the quality of the enzyme or you describe the process activity, however you're going to call it, but the enzyme participates. And I think it's the latter that we usually describe, unless there's something special that you want to describe with the enzyme.
We are describing the inherent property of the protein molecule, not the process with which it was evaluated.
Okay, then let's say it's the trait of the molecule.
Yeah.
So what's, I like that.
Can you give me the example of that? What do you mean? What is the property of the molecule that you want to describe?
So we are not
it gives rise to this activity that in the normal English sense of the word activity that Pankaj just described. That's the quality of the molecule.
Yes, but where, in what context, in biology, I mean now, would you use that type of annotation?
Yeah, because I have a mutation in the molecule. Molecule A is your reference, and the molecule B is your mutated molecule. And I did the enzyme activity assay on that molecule, and the inherent property, I realized that molecule B, the mutated one, is behaving abnormally.
So I think this supports my argument. These are qualities of the molecules.
Yep.
So they go on a biochemical trait. And we get rid of the term enzyme activity. We write what Pankaj just said.
But remember, the inherent property that we analyzed was its enzymatic activity. Okay, so
are you now using the word activity in the geo sense to mean function, or in the normal English sense to mean process?
Function.
No, function.
Yeah.
Okay, so the function of the molecule. Do we have an ontology of functions in the plant ontology anywhere?
No.
No.
So we can regard functions as qualities.
Yeah.
From our point of view, they're qualities. Mm-hmm. And what we're calling qualities here are called functions in the go. And we're calling them qualities. So this is a quality of the enzyme in virtue of which it does that thing. And the reason why I'm arguing along these lines is because I truly think the use of the word activity is confusing.
Okay.
You can call it enzyme catalyst trait.
Let's look at some of the examples of the traits in this branch, and that might help us kind of understand. So like one example might be, you know, like this amylase activity trait. So.
Yeah. Sorry.
So this is like an analysis or a quality of, amylase activity in a barley malt mash or something. You know, the barley breeders, for example, might evaluate how much amylase activity there is.
Yeah, exactly. This is what we're annotating. This is the point I was trying to make earlier on. You want to annotate increase, decrease.
Right.
Activity or process in terms of the various languages, I'm not necessarily disagreeing. And how we measure in that is we measure the concentration of the enzyme. This is the assay we adopt.
No, not necessarily the assay for the enzyme. We are not necessarily measuring the amount of the enzyme. Yeah. That is going into your protein content thing. Here you're measuring if you add amylose and add an enzyme molecule from your plant A or plant B, then what is the resulting glucose entity that are products of that reaction that you're looking at.
Perfect. So what we are annotating, we have to make, I mean, unless there is a valid argument which I cannot see, we're not talking about the quality of the enzyme here. What you're is and that's what we're doing with other phenotype ontologies. You're measuring the process. We call it activity. That's fine. It's an increased process that occurs due to a particular mutation or whatever.
Right.
I think here I would say instead of activity, I can give you a solution. I think you should say enzyme catalyst trait. So catalyst is that's the job of the enzymes. So instead of an activity, it's an enzyme catalyst trait.
Okay.
And whether this catalyst was more functional or less functional or better functional, you can record it that way.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would use that term, but that might
because enzyme activity does the whole purpose is that you're looking at the process of catalysis.
So like I said earlier, I think Barry is right, but biologists, we call this enzyme activity. I think we all understand what we mean by that. The point here is that this is not a quality of the enzyme, it's a quality of the process, or whatever Barry wants to call it.
That process, I would call it as catalysis.
Yes. So you want to say that the phenotype is that you have increased or decreased amount of that process happening. I know Barry doesn't like this, but...
I certainly agree that we need to be able to talk about traits like that.
So here's my, I think we are all on agreement, and we are now, let's say if I, for example, if don't worry about enzyme thing, if I bring the whole branch of molecular function from Go under this biochemical trait, then you can actually record for whether this molecule has DNA binding,
yes.
activity or not. This is your phenotype. So everything in the go is become a phenotype trait at that point of time.
Yes, and it will become
because it is an inherent property of that protein molecule that has this activity. This has DNA binding capability or catalysis capability or not. That is everything in that go is basically a phenotype trait.
Right. Yeah. This is one of the
functions. This is one of those.
One of the functions that proteins can do is catalysis. Yes.
Which is what we want. That's why we want to. That's why we're doing this exercise.
Right.
So, if you want to make the distinction about qualities of metabolites or qualities of, I'm talking about the entity itself. This is a different thing from what we're discussing now, which is what commonly is ascribed by phenotype ontologies. We report the phenotypic effect of a particular process or a morphological effect. There are two things that we really record. Am I making sense? I'm arguing that the definition before, that it was about the enzyme itself, that it was about the process that it was involved in, or it was about whatever it was there. There were three or four things. I think you should distinguish between these four. Talk about the qualities of the processes, mm-hmm. and then if you have the need, which I suspect you won't, but I'm open to that. If you have the need to describe qualities about the entities themselves, the metabolites or the proteins and so on, then you have it at the separate branch.
Okay, well. Anybody have comments on that?
No.
I'm sort of still trying to absorb what you just said there.
So if we say, let's say your top level is biochemical trait, and underneath that, if I put molecular function trait, and under that is your enzyme catalysis or catalyst trait.
Right.
Then would that make appropriate, Barry, or not?
Remember, Pankaj, if we're doing ontology, then we need to have the general terms which are defined non-disjunctively. Mm-hmm. If we have a general term which has a disjunctive definition, either a trait of a molecule or a trait of a molecular function, then we're not doing our job properly.
So then what you're saying, Barry, is that it's better to split that category into separate ones so they're not like a grouping category.
And that will also make it much neater if we need to import a whole army of gene ontology functions at some stage.
We can do that, definitely, yes. That's what I was thinking, whether underneath the biochemical trait, you literally can bring the whole of Go underneath it. But the problem is Go is so species neutral, and our top level is plant trait. And
yeah. So I'm not recommending that you import the whole of Go. I'm just saying that this will... make it neater when we do need to import parts of it. It will also help us to conform to Laurel's very healthy goal of trying to reuse the gene ontology as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
I have two concerns there. One is that the go term activity is going to confuse people. And the other is that if we do it in the way that we have it now, we're going to end up with disjunctive terms, which are bad practice. And I think probably it would be good to drop biochemical trait altogether and have biochemical, rather have plant. So this is not a biochemical trait. This is a trait of a molecule. We need to have a term which means plant molecule trait.
Plant chemical entity trait.
Plant chemical entity trait. That's probably even better.
When you say this, you mean the enzyme activities.
So the enzyme activity, I think we can go either by putting them under qualities of enzymes. I think sometimes they are qualities of enzymes because they reflect mutation, which is an enzymatic change. Or in some cases, we can put them under enzyme process.
So I agree completely with Barry. The only argument I'm making, I'm not disagreeing, just put the term, the first term that Barry mentioned, but if you want to talk about qualities of chemical entities, then you have to talk about the biochemistry, the structure of the chemical, which is not something that I think you're after. But having that as a cluster, if you want to keep it there, just in case, keep it there. But the second category that Barry mentioned, I think, is the one that you want.
Which is?
It's the quality of of metabolite or a chemical involved in some biological process.
All the ones we're considering are involved in biological processes.
Yes, they're all concerned in biological
processes. Yeah, but are we describing something about the process itself?
Sometimes we are, yes.
And I think most of the times we are.
In the case of the enzyme mutation, that would be an enzyme assay where we are concerned with the enzyme primarily.
Yes.
So I agree that we're always concerned with both, but if we're going to do an ontology where we are going to have some traits of chemical entities, then we need a branch of the ontology which concerns the traits of chemical entities. And if we're going to have other traits which concern the processes of those entities, where we could have the very same entity manifesting two distinct processes in two distinct plants, then we need to have another branch, which is process traits.
Yes, yes.
And you should be smiling now, George, because I am here betraying my own.
I am smiling.
Phobia.
But I think I understand what you mean, and I think we are both trying to be pragmatic here. I do agree completely with what you just said.
So the top level, for example, what you're looking at is a plant chemical entity trait instead of a biochemical trait.
So if we rename this top term, plant chemical entity trait.
Yeah.
Just trying to think of how this would fit with the things that are underneath here. And that's assuming that the biological process traits move out.
No, biological process is also...
Well, it's not a chemical entity.
Why not?
This needs to move out to a separate... If we decide to go with the chemical entity as the top level definition of this trait, the biological process traits need to be a different branch.
Correct.
Right.
One of the
things could be part of this and also part of the other with the right relations.
Yeah, let's not worry about that now. But I think one of the golden rules that Barry taught me, and I think it's very valuable here, think about what things would go underneath the categories. What type of traits you want to record? I bet you won't find many under the quality of the enzyme or the quality of the metabolite itself. But you might. I'm just saying that I cannot think of something that you would be recording related to that.
So I'm okay moving that process out of the biochemical trait.
Yeah, I think we need to. I think we need to, yeah.
You can have it,
And then if we define the whole branch as, let me get back to here. If we define this whole branch as the chemical entity, here, let's go back here. Let me rewrite this while we're talking here. So if we call this, so are we going to change the name of it as well and call it chemical entity? Okay.
If we say chemical entity trait. Plant chemical entity trait.
Now the question is this a big enough change to warrant just obsoleting this and making a new one?
No, I don't know.
We're making a pretty fundamental change in the... This is the current definition we have right now. It includes metabolites, enzymatic activity, and biological processes.
I mean, the definition... everybody can pick it apart, but the definition, the traits will not be related to the acid itself. But okay, in any case, keep going with what you're doing, because you have plant chemical entity trait, and then as a sibling to that, you can have a plant biological process trait, whatever you want to call it.
Sibling to that, we'll have plant biological process trait, yep.
Yeah.
So this would be a plant trait, which is a quality of
or chemical entity.
Chemical entity.
Now, can you think of a subclass to that term? An example, in essence.
Of chemical entity.
A subclass of chemical entity, George?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, metabolites are not a subclass of chemical entity. It's a role.
Metabolites themselves are a subclass of chemical entity. That's fine.
All your molecular. So, for example, for example, which you have sodium concentration. Trace.
Concentration trait. So that's not. I mean, that's not the quality of the chemical.
All of our enzymatic activities are subclasses.
So I think that the sodium concentration kind of trait is a trait of the plant.
Yes.
Yes.
The enzyme trait is a trait of the enzyme.
Exactly. Yep.
And so here's what I would say, the chemical entity trait, although we are measuring for an individual molecule, but we are calling it with reference to where it is present.
Right.
It is indirectly, you are measuring the trait of the plant, but that's an indirect relationship that is happening here.
Well, you're measuring the fact that there are more entities of that type within a specific environment.
Yeah.
So it cannot be, what Barry, I think, is saying, and I'm saying the same thing, it cannot be the quality of the entity itself. The quality of the entity itself could be its morphology, its structure, its whatever, right? But look, that's why I said I think you're going to struggle identifying qualities for these chemicals. I think that's the distinction I'm trying to make anyway.
It's really the quality of the plant entity, which, you know, the differences that exist in this chemical entity in that plant part.
Yeah. So you can have plant composition, and the concentration of a particular chemical could be a subclass of that plant composition, and that's a fine trait. This buried, is that sensible?
I still think this doesn't capture the enzyme activities, though, like the molecular function.
So I was saying that they can have plant composition as a quality of the plant itself, and then the concentration of a particular chemical within that plant could be a subclass of that.
Absolutely, yes. That's my point.
Barry actually raised that point before.
I'm sorry?
Oh, Barry had raised that point
previously
that he felt that, but I'm just not sure how to.
Well, for the time being, create the classes. Create the plant chemical entity trait and the plant biological process trait. And then as soon as you start moving subclasses, or as soon as you start populating that branch of the ontology, I think maybe you come up with something that goes under plant chemical trait, and we can discuss that. But I think most of the things, like the activity, which it's a process, will go under that. Or you can have, if you want to really make the distinction, create a plant function traits.
The molecular function traits.
Yeah. If you want to.
See, it seems like, I kind of like this plant entity, plant chemical entity trait, but I don't really see how the molecular function terms fit under that.
They don't.
I think
that's
they need
point.
To go in a separate branch, yeah.
They don't fit under that. So yeah. Chemical entities are the things that we give chemical molecular formulae for.
Yes.
Roles and so forth. And I think this is a sort of coherent part of the KEBI approach.
Mm-hmm.
That there are some things which are just roles that chemicals play, but which are often used as if they were names for chemical entities. And it's our job to be very careful in keeping those apart, because we want to rely on the KEBI as a data source.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Well, so this has sort of changed the approach that I was planning to propose, but I think it's similar in a way. So if we maybe we'll try this and we'll take a look at how it falls out.
I think it sounds maybe that we're disagreeing. I think we are agreeing completely with you. You have in the original definition, and plant matter is a quality of a chemical entity. So we're saying make that one branch of your ontology.
Right.
A quality of the rest, developmental cells and so on, they're already in TO, but in different kind of context, I think.
Right. Go ahead, George. Sorry.
So the quality of the chemical entities, assuming you're going to find something, and it has to be, this will have to be something about the properties of the chemicals themselves, which you might have examples. And then you have another branch where it's a biochemical process, a plant biochemical process.
Right.
And there you start putting the qualities related to the processes or whatever we're going to call them. Things like, you know, increase enzymatic activity or whatever we're going to call it to make it more sensible.
So let's say increase sodium uptake.
Yes, increase sodium uptake, yes. Thank you, Pankaj.
So if you're saying that this chemical entity would be here let's say DNA binding would not go under chemical entity trait, right?
No, that'd be a biological process.
Yeah. The beauty of that is that we bring Go into play.
Right.
And you can do Go when you do your reasoning across. That makes that ontology aligned with all the other phenotype ontologies as well. So that, you know, we can go across.
So where does the enzyme activity go here now?
I would say it's a biological process. You can, if you want to.
Yeah. I think that we'd have a separate category, plant biological process, which would include the enzyme activity, molecular function terms. Well,
have a plant molecular function.
Okay, let me put that down too, and then we'll see how that looks.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can spell it.
Don't use plural.
Sorry.
All right.
It's earlier. Got it.
Yeah. In front of Barry, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Barry hadn't caught that yet. Nothing like doing this live. Yeah, I think that would work. So is there a way we can group these under this heading? I don't want to create like a bunch. I mean, I guess we could if we need to create new branches in the TO.
Laurel, I think the trick is to build the branches correctly.
Right.
And then if you feel like you need a bag at the top to hold them together, you just define that disjunctively. And then you'll be creating a disjunctive definition, which you understand completely. The problem was that you started with a disjunctive definition, which was full of redundancies and overlaps and problems. Where if you do the real branches first, and only then start thinking about how you can bin them together.
So that was sort of what I was trying to do, Barry. So, yeah. You know, it's just, maybe I wasn't as successful at it as I had hoped, but this was the process I was trying to achieve, was define these four categories and then based on that, redefine the branch.
Yeah.
Right. And so the scope of the branch.
So this is experimental. So the next, what we have decided on today, we may reject in a week.
That's true.
But
true. And we can always roll it back.
Was a bad starting point, and that wasn't your fault.
Well, I think this is all. So I think what I want to do now is sit down with this and sort of, like George said, kind of flesh these out and see what goes in what category, and then we can revisit the definition of the actual as Barry calls it, the bag that holds them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But I think this should maybe be a new term, the plant chemical entity trait.
Yeah, so for example, if that happens, then many of the children of mineral and iron content related trait would actually move into the chemical entity trait.
Right, that's actually what I was proposing for this, because this is a kind of a bad name for that branch.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way mineral is defined in KEBI is a lot different than the way we're using it.
So I'm sorry to be coming back to that, but the content, because I can sort of envision what would be underneath those terms in TO. This, I think, would belong not under the plant chemical trait. They would belong in a class in TO that mimics or is close enough to describe traits related to the composition of the plant, or then it is another part of the plant.
That is true, but in that situation, if you're looking for the chemical entity trait that are traits inherent of the quality of the chemical, and then you have, I doubt if there would be any, except for wherever you have protein modifications, that is an inherent property of the molecule, or there is a chemical modification that you would see. That's the only trait that would go under chemical entity. Otherwise, nothing else goes under chemical trait.
That was my initial point. That's why I said.
So if we are looking over here, let's say arsenic concentration, ash content, I would still, even though we are determining the content of the ash or concentration of the arsenic, which is not an inherent property. I agree, it is not an inherent property of the molecule itself. It's an inherent property of the plant, yes, or the plant part that we are looking at.
Yes.
So I think when we define plant chemical entity trait, we should be careful. If we can include to say that if there are two ways of doing it, it can be an inherent property of the molecule itself or the inherent property of the plant.
So,
but I know Barry would not like or thing. So
can I just ask a question, whether you have a coherent branch of the ontology which deals with whole plant modifications or whole plant and plant part modifications relative to what is typical or canonical for the given plant type? So, for instance, shortened growth or something like that. Well, what is meant is that it has shortened growth relative to the typical instance of that species.
Sure, sure, we do.
We have growth and development trait. And
we've got lots of plant morphology.
But do you have a subgroup which consists of morphology which is modified relative to the standard for that species?
But I mean, Barry, I think that is the value, is not really what you are measuring, is already the value of the measurements that you are doing.
Oh,
like, say again?
Like, okay, go ahead.
I mean, the example that you just gave, I mean, it's more the value of what you are measuring.
So you can measure the height of a plant.
Right.
But you can also assay for plants which are growing too slowly or growing.
Yeah.
Well, that would be that'd be a developmental stage.
I think the research for growth rate, there should be something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so, but I have the feeling from the reaction I'm getting that this is not a conceivable single branch of the ontology. So it's everywhere that you find these two kinds of assays.
Right.
One, where you assay the height, and the other where you assay for shortened height relative to the norm.
Well,
this is always, I have this concern with the EQ model. Sometimes the EQ your EQ model is a trait, and sometimes your EQ model is defining a phenotype. So, yeah. For example,
Barry and I are just friends now, and but I get the point, and I think Barry also. It's the in BFO, it's determinable versus determinate. Anyway, in any model, you can have these distinguishes. So you can talk about the trade itself and the value as
matter. Right, right.
But let's not, I mean, this is, I don't think it's very, you know, it might take us for years if we go back to this type of discussions. I think we understand what you're after. It can work with what Barry suggests. You can talk about it.
If you do it properly, you don't need to worry because the value is just a subclass of the trait.
Yes.
But then what I'm saying is that there are two different kinds of value. One would be the value 6 feet and the other would be the value very tall relative to the norm.
Yes.
But anyway, I have to run now, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think we're getting down to the end of the hour.
Yeah.
Let me work on this a little bit more and let's talk about this some more on Tuesday's meeting.
So am I involved in Tuesday's
meeting? I would love it if you could be involved.
Okay.
That's our regular meeting day. Right. I'm afraid I had computer problems this week and so I had to push things to a couple of days, but now we're back in business. So I think the thing to do is to kind of flesh this out a little bit and we'll look at it again. If everybody's willing, it'd be great.
Good.
Kind of out of curiosity, two things. One of them is, can you send a reminder about the meeting because sometimes I get confused. but also I would like to ask Marie-Angelique, what about the crop ontologies? Are you planning to fix them accordingly to what we're discussing here or is just defining them and then we do the alignment?
I mean, what we're planning to do is just to map all traits. Do the TO and then get all the semantics from the TO directly.
Okay, so we follow the same framework, it should work. But do you also plan to use, because what we're doing here, as soon as we apply some reasoning over it, you see that things will be restructured and hopefully come to the right place. I think you'll see that by chemical trait will have no subclass underneath that, and most of them will go to the places that we're missing. Is it
allowed
to do that for crop as well?
So, no, George, what Mari just told us is that instead of them defining the top-level structure, they are just mapping their terminologies, the traits, actual traits, to the reference TO. As long as the top reference TO defines the top-level structure, crop ontology will pick up the same structure.
Yeah, they're not building a hierarchy.
They're not building any ontology.
Is ontology going away, or is it going to maintain its existence?
No, so crop ontology would maintain a list of traits and their mapped entities the trait ontology. The graph will be automatically generated based on the reference.
Got it. Yep. Okay, fine. No.
That simplifies having to do it there as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And then when we change things around, it doesn't mess them up.
Yes. As long as we don't drop the mapping.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay, excellent. No, that's a good plan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll probably have more questions for you, George, on the PEDO side. So that's great. Okay, well, thanks everybody for the discussion today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Great.
Marie-Angelique, I haven't forgot about arranging when you're going to come here. John is flying back from Netherlands today. I'm trying to organize it. It's a bit chaotic, but I will sort it out, I promise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No problem. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Thanks,
guys.
Bye-bye. Hey, Marie, can you tell Elizabeth, you can stop recording now.
Oh.
Is